O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in, behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that it cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for all fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them yet existed. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! I try to count them. They are more than the sand. I come to my end. I am still with you. Oh, that you would kill the wicked, O God, and that the bloodthirsty would depart from me. Those who speak maliciously and lift themselves up against you for evil. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there is any wicked in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now may the words of our mouths, the meditations of our hearts, be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. We are yet in our summer sermon series titled Summer in the Psalms. 139. 139 describes that God is all. He is all in all. He is everything. Words that we're going to use today are the words, He is omniscient. He is omnipresent. He is omnipotent. And that word, omni, maybe you've come across that here, there, and yonder. It refers to a hotel chain. Anybody ever stayed at the Omni? It also refers to a car that's driven, made by Dodge, called the Omni. And I believe that the reason that particular entrepreneurs picked this name was because of the Latin word, the meaning of Omni. The word Omni in Latin means all. It means everything. So somehow, some way, this transportation service, this lodging service, wanted to try to convey that what they're offering is everything, is their all. Well, today we're not talking about hotels and cars. We're talking about a God, our God, who is the all in all. He is everything. So he is omniscient, which means he knows everything. He's omnipresent, which means he is everywhere all the time. That didn't blow your mind. And he is also omnipotent, which means he is all-powerful. So let's look at these words as we look at the Word of God. We're going to put it on the screen. I'm going to invite you to read the first six verses with me as we speak of his omniscience. It begins, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. Yes, God is omniscient, which means that he knows everything. He knows it all. Heavenly Father knows us so intricately. He knows us so well, so profoundly, that there is absolutely nothing, nada, nix, about us or about anything that is hidden from him. Even our very own thoughts, before we gather them in our brain, our words before they form to come out of our mouth, and even when those sentences prior to them being uttered spill off of our lips, God knows them. He knows us actually like the back of his hand. This last week, I was able to take a day and go fishing. So packed up, gone fishing, went to Galveston Bay. Went there with my son, Andy, Greg, and Stuart Hendrickson, and we hired a guide this time. And the name of the guide, well, there's his boat, Captain Cody. And he had one of those Boston Whalers with a twin 115-power horse, and we could cruise across the bay. Here's a picture of Captain Cody here as well. We were in the water about 6 a.m. Our lines were in the bay about 6:30. And I got to tell you, we didn't get skunked. We didn't get skunked. But neither were our arms hurting the next day because we had to haul so many fish in. But I have to tell you, it wasn't because Captain Cody didn't do his work in trying to put us on some fish that day. You see, as Captain Cody tried to help us catch a few fish, there's the motley crew right there and the few fish that we gathered. Maybe not enough for a feast, but a meal and a lot of good memories. Captain Cody took us all over the bay, a bay that he's been fishing for 20 years. And so he knew all of the inlets and the outlets. He knew where the sandbars were and the oyster beds were. He knew where the channels were and where the water came up, and he was looking for just the right water. He visited a little bit with me about the color of the water. It's a little bit too murky here. We're going to move on. We'd catch a few fish over here. We'd pick up when it died down, and we'd go over here. We'd maybe get a few bites and get on the hard heads. He said, we're not wanting to be on the hard heads, so we'd move over to this direction. We zipped, and we moved all over the place. And so I noticed that when he was driving the boat, he had some instrumentation right there in front of him. And so one was a GPS to know exactly our point. And he also had lines scribbled all over it. It's where he had traveled before. He had places where he knew that there were fish. And so he tried to get us on those fish. And, well, again, we caught a few. He knew that bay forward and backward. He intricately understood the waters where he had invested so much of his life. God knows. God knows us so very well because he formed and he shaped us. More than just knowing a body of water for 20 years, he's had us in his heart and in his mind from the very beginning of time, whenever that was, if we can wrap our mind around that. He knows what we're going to do before we do it. He knew what vocation and vacation you'd be involved in this particular summer before you even knew 20 years ago and even 100 years ago. He knew when you would fail and when you would succeed. He knew if you'd go to college and what your degree would be. He knew when you would get married, if you would get married, and if you would have children. You see, the Bible even says that he knows the number of hairs upon our head. He knows us so well, so very well, that he even knows the sins before we do it, as well as the faithfulness where we are called in some challenges of our faith. He knows us backward and forward, inside and out. Our God is omniscient. He knows everything. My wife is a fourth grade teacher. Before she was a fourth grade teacher, she was a first grade teacher And I got to tell you, kids, I think, are probably a little more impressionable at 6 years old than 9 and 10 years old. Well, when she would be teaching those first graders, they'd be doing something behind her back, you know, starting to misbehave or starting to do this, maybe cheat off of somebody or whisper, do some things they weren't supposed to be doing in class. And from being turned around in that position, still writing on the chalkboard or on the eraser board, she'd say, "Y'all better behave." And they'd say, "How did you see me? How did you know?" And she'd say, "I have eyes in the back of my head." And first graders at that particular time in life would go like this. They would be stymied. You see, God knows all. He has his eye on everything. He sees it all. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Everything that we say and do and think. And yet despite knowing everything there is to know about us, particularly our sin and our brokenness, he yet loves us and he yet desires to have a personal close relationship with each and every one of us. And if that's not grace, I don't know what is. Our omniscient God, who knows it all, continues to love and lure and want to be a part of our everyday personal lives. Our God is omniscient. Second section, please read it with me together. He is omnipresent. Verses 7 through 12, we read, "Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not too dark. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you." Yes, our God is omnipresent, which means that he is present. He himself is everywhere, all the time, at the same time. I was visiting with a parent some time ago who was telling me their great appreciation for living in a small community. He told me a story about his high school student who came home late. The dad said, "Son, we need to talk." The dad said, "About what, son?" The dad said, "Well, you were supposed to be at the movie theater tonight, and I understand you were somewhere else." The young lad said, "Where did you hear that, Dad?" Dad said, "Small town, son, small town. I have many spies out there. I am everywhere." God doesn't have spies, but he too is everywhere. He's in the United States. We know that, right? He's also in North Korea. He's also in China, Germany, Mexico, Japan. He's at those places all the time at the same time. He's at the birth of a baby and the admittance of a senior citizen to a nursing home. He's in the sunrise. He's in the sunset. He's at the wedding ceremony, and he's at the divorce court. He's at the store and the office. He's at the bank, and he's at the jail. He is in the successful procedure medical-wise, and he's also in the cancer diagnosis. He's here at church and he's at the bar. He's in the drought and he's in the rain. He's in your best friend and he is in your worst enemy. He's in the saint and he is in the sinner. See, he's on planet Earth and he's in outer space. He's in the water of holy baptism and in the bread and wine of holy communion. He's in the resurrection as well as the cross. He's in you. And he is in me. Our God is everywhere. The only way I can start to wrap my mind around some of this is to think about air and to think about this particular image of God being everywhere, omnipresent. He is like the air inside of a hot air balloon, as well as the air that surrounds a hot air balloon. He is completely inside of us and outside of us, sustaining us, giving us life. He's there to comfort us when we're disturbed. He's also there to disturb us when we're way too comfortable. God is omnipresent. He's very much like my mom when I was growing up. And I wouldn't refer to my mom as a helicopter mom, but she was like there all the time. I mean, I can't understand how moms, I guess God fashioned and made them with that special gift and that special ability. She seemed to be everywhere all the time. We were talking earlier in the service as we did the greeting about thanks be to God in the middle of the heat that we have air conditioner. Amen? Amen, amen. Well, I grew up in the day, and maybe some of you did too, where we didn't have air conditioning. How many of you grew up where you didn't have air conditioning? Oh my, how did we live? How are we here today? How did we not die back then? Well, you know, we had a water cooler, and that water cooler only was operated on weekends, on Saturdays and Sundays when all the family was in and around the house. And we also used the water cooler in the evenings when we would try to sleep. And so during the day, my mom being a stay-at-home mom, and this being the summer, and us kids being in the backyard, the windows were raised. And so mom, again, not being a helicopter mom, but mom having her finger to the pulse of just about everything, would hear us playing in the backyard. And when we'd get, you know, start to fussing and fighting and doing some things and maybe using some language we weren't supposed to use, out of that window you'd hear her voice, "Y'all settle down back there." Where was mom? How did she know that? Or we'd be around the front yard doing some of the same sort of mischief, maybe creating those fibs, cheating, doing some things wrong, that kind of thing in the games we were playing. And here would come mom's voice out of the front window. "Y'all kids behave out there." She seemed to be everywhere. And not just in the times when she needed to call our hand on something, but she was also there, very present in those times of distress. I remember once we were playing in the front yard, and I fell and cut my knee pretty severely there on the sidewalk, on the corner of the sidewalk. It just seemed like she was there in a matter of 2 seconds, applying first aid and doing the things that mom do to nurture us back to health. I remember the time that I fell out of the tree and on my back. It must have been 200 feet. No, it wasn't. It was about 10. But anyway, I fell on my back, and that wind was knocked out, and mom was like right there on the spot, lifting me up or helping me to my seat and then to my feet. I remember the time there was an accident in the backyard where my sister almost lost her eye, and what a panic it was, but mom was right there, Jane on the spot. Seemed like mom was everywhere all the time. There's not a place that God is not. And you know, as much as he does to correct us or to seek to call our attention to our sins and our iniquities, and we need that, he's also there to love us and to forgive us and to encourage us, to redeem us and to save us, to come to our rescue. He's gone everywhere before us. And he's even gone to the places that we don't have to go. He descended into hell so that we wouldn't have to. He went there for us. And therefore, he is present to us even in the hells of our personal lives. He cares. He loves. He's involved. You see, God didn't just create and form and shape us and wind us up like a toy and let us go until our battery or the winded up part ran out. But he continues to be there, to wind us up again and again and again, to be by our side. He's vested in us. He's in our heart. He is, as we always say when we leave this place, he is with you always, even till the end of time. Our God is omnipresent. And finally, our God is omnipotent. Read with me verses 13 through 18. "For it was you who formed me. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them as yet existed. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. I try to count them. They are more than the sand. I come to my end. I am still with you. You see, the one who created the heavens and the earth also formed you in your mama's tummy. It was the same one who split the Red Sea, the same one who caused manna to rain from heaven, the same one who walked on the waters, who multiplied the loaves, who cleansed and caused the dead to rise, the one who turned water into wine, the one who is our all in all, the God of miracles, the one who did all those things, took the time to organize your specific DNA for you to be and to come out and be purposed for how you are. That is the power of our God, to be involved in the huge and the enormous and the very small and the tiny. And sometimes people will think, well, if God is all powerful, if God is all knowing, if God is all present, why don't he do something about all the problems in this world? Why didn't he stop world hunger? Why doesn't he curb the catastrophes or cure cancer, prevent war? And those actually are more questions about our human free will, our rebellion from God, and the nature of this sinful, broken world. Those are subjects of another sermon. But as for the power of God, the power that God has exhibited in the past and all of history, and the power of God that if he took his little pinky and just moved it up just maybe a quarter of an inch, and he could do anything and do everything in this world, out of all that great power, all the great power that God has done and could do, the greatest work, the greatest power that he has ever shown is actually in the sacrifice of his Son, our Savior, Jesus the Christ. You see, he made his power known to us in weakness. Not in human power, but in the vulnerability of the cross. And why did he do that? Why did he show that kind of power? In order to save us from our sin, to deliver us from the punishment that we would deserve for those sins. Our God has shown his power in his being vulnerable. This last spring, I was stomping through the woods with my deer rifle. And I wasn't hunting the whitetail, just to make that clear. This was spring. I was hunting that other spotted kind called the axis. And so as I was walking through the woods, I was frightened by a bird that came out of a tree just above my head. And I kind of got my wits about me, and I watched that bird. And it didn't seem to have a normal kind of flight pattern. I mean, it was fluttering around, sort of off course. Its feathers were all mushled up, and it just didn't seem to be healthy or right. And all of a sudden, it kind of thudded to the ground. And I said, well, what in the world is that? And so I walked on over close to it, and it rose up again, and it started to fly. And again, it fluttered, not in a healthy way, but kind of zigzagged through the air, and boom, down to the ground again. And I said to myself, what was that bird smoking while I was up in that tree? And so I turned around and I looked in the tree, and lo and behold, there was a nest up there. And I had no idea about this until I did a little further investigation. But it was a dove, and the dove came off this nest, and it pretended to be wounded. It pretended to be hurt. And for me, if I were a predator, to pull me away from its young, to pull me away from the nest, pull me away from the vulnerable. You see, it was making itself vulnerable, itself weak, in order to protect its young. It had the power, it had the strong power in those wings to fly high and far. But instead, it denied itself that kind of power and showed power in weakness. God has shown us his great power, not just by pretending, not just by acting to be scourged and whipped and beaten and hung, but by bleeding and dying on a cross so that we, his young, those of us who are weak and vulnerable in our sin and even in our own deaths, so that we might, by faith, become strengthened in his greater power. And of course, we know that he overcame sin and death on Easter Sunday, that great power in being raised from the dead by God the Father. And he'll show that kind of power again when he comes again in glory at the second coming, that time when he will create a new heaven and a new perfect earth. But until that time, we rely on his power in our weakness, his strength in our struggle, his tiny bit of light in our darkness. As we continue to walk by faith, may we hold tight to this omniscient, this omnipresent, this omnipotent God, now and always. Amen. Amen.